Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Gosh, love me, love forever. This is one of the shows that I will be like smiling for 50 minutes for sure. And everybody says, I wonder why. Because love is in the air. And I just love this feeling. Love is in the air. In my studio, I have the most beautiful couple in a whole wild world. And if people want to see them, if somebody wants to see them, in 1 hour, please switch to the video channel, because from 7 till 8 Pacific time, we will be having our show on a camera. Camera, whatever accent is this, but we will see our guests and everybody can see me again. That's the most important anyway for me. Anyway, Monday, Accent On. Today, we have a couple, very talented couple. Of course, they both have accents. And we'll describe why one accent is very, very original, another is also very, very original, but two different continents, which means very close to my heart, Europe. And apropos, Domenico Capuano, where are you? We were playing Sun Is Going Down, and what can I say? I think I have somebody that you need to meet. Okay, let's start from the gentleman. What is your name?
My name is Carlo, and I come from, I don't know, you want to tell that?
No, you say it.
I say it. Okay, I come from Italy.
Mimo, where are you? I just called you. Hopefully you will call us and we will get together. Domenico Capuano again, the producer that I'm working with, and he's here in America because of my big warm heart and love for the artistry of this gentleman. He's writing, scoring for the movies in Hollywood. That was his dream, but a few years ago, no, he was in Italy. Now he's in Hollywood. Then I believe that you both need to meet and something great will happen. And your wife also need to meet him because she's a great singer. Okay, what is your name?
My name is Erin.
Erin, I'm trying to push that you have an accent.
I could put on my Minnesota accent.
Because do that.
I'm from Minnesota and we all know that, you know, people from Minnesota,
that
we have accents. Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I always am wondering how people can get rid of an accent, but you are in Hollywood.
Oh, well, actually, you know what? When I started studying singing, that's when I started losing my Minnesota accent. I started picking up other accents because I was studying Italian and German and French, but then eventually it just sort of calmed into a bit of a flat American accent. So,
yeah, that's in a way necessary, but good that you have ear for the accent because you can use this talent when you are acting also from time to time. Then, okay. If we need to, like, introduce you properly.
Thank you.
And then what you will say about you. Describe who is Erin. And you have two names, then it's so funny because obviously you are using your husband's name, which
Erin,
is?
Yes, Erin Carrera.
But you have also another name.
Well, yes. And actually, I do still use Erin Muir as a writer, but not as a singer or an actress. So
I like that, you know. Okay, then who is Erin?
Erin is a, let's see, I've got a little catchphrase. Classically trained, hooked on pop, schooled in soul. I am a classical pop singer, sort of like if Adele and Josh Groban had a baby who hung out with Bette Midler. And as an actress, I'm your young mom, your powerful attorney, and your girl next door with a secret.
With these blue eyes that are just the most gorgeous color, and they're real. Like you put something on your eyes and it's like, oh, I'm blue. And you're a beautiful girl.
Thank you.
You're right. You have this powerful, how do you call this? When you enter home or enter room, your physics, or you just, how is it, aura? That's the English. aura. You got, you have something. You see strong woman. Yeah, I think
I am strong. It's true.
Yeah, no. We were talking a little bit about us being weak from time to time, you know, well, and then get turning to be a strong woman.
Sure.
But that's life, yes?
Yeah, and vulnerability is not, I think that being a human and having your vulnerability is actually maybe sometimes even stronger.
Yes.
As we were talking about before the show, okay. If you are always having to be a certain kind of strong and you're attached to the idea of what that means, you can get yourself in trouble because it won't be healthy.
You're so right. You're so right. And sometimes it's harder to be weak.
Yeah.
And, you know, just showing your weakness and still be proud, you know, saying that's what's happening. Okay, love you, because we need to spend a little bit time with your beautiful, wonderful, talented husband,
who is
Italian, handsome,
kind.
Gentleman. Both of them are gorgeous.
Smart.
Everybody is turning in 55 minutes to video channel on LA Talk Radio and Accent on TV, the best of Poland and Europe and the rest of the world is represented in perfect way. Okay, Mr.
Yes. Yeah.
You are a scary, scary man in a way.
Really scary?
Yes.
Oh,
I love your short life story that I got about you. I'm like, whoa, tough man.
Well, yeah, I like to be tough sometimes. Not all the time, but...
Could you tell us, maybe we'll start from your husband, okay, a little your life story, because it's fascinating.
All right. I was born in Napoli, which is a town in the south of Italy where I spent my childhood. And then after, you know, I turned 18, I joined the Academy for the Carabinieri, which is a police force, Italian police force, like the national police force, where I spent like 12 years of my life.
Okay, let's stop. We are talking about young gentlemen, 12 years
yes.
in police force
yeah.
in Italy.
In Italy.
Mafia.
I was, oh, yeah, there was a lot of mafia. I was a captain. So as a captain, wow. I basically headed like departments. So where I was responsible for the most important investigations about violent crimes and organized crime and very, very bad stuff that was happening in Italy. Even we had domestic terrorism, very bad stuff.
We are talking using your brain.
Yes, using my brain and using my, you know, everything you have, because I mean, when you are
12 years,
people, 12 years,
and yes. one day you looked at a mirror or in a mirror and you said, freak, I'm hot. I think enough of it. I think time to go to Hollywood and see Holly Weird, maybe, and see what I can do in this part of the world. That's how this happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really being hot, but I'm smart.
Yes. You're smart, but you must, you know, to dream about becoming successful or just having your place in this crazy Hollywood place and this big dream, you need to be good arrogant. You need to believe in
yeah.
yourself, and you need to believe that it's something very special about all of us. I'm talking also to Erin and myself, too. I'm in America having my own radio show. I barely speak English. How hot is this? You know, for 3 years. And I have another show, and I really do what I love to do, even when I'm not so perfect. But that works towards my advantage right now. And sometimes you need to turn your worries, like you say, weaknesses into strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned this maybe a little too late in America, but I'm doing the best right now that I can. Okay, coming back to you. Then 6 years ago, because you are in America 6 years.
Yes.
And tell me this moment that you decided you'll take a chance, and how this happened?
Well, it was a very hard moment because my dad had just passed away.
Mm.
And but I mean, it was a very important moment that because I was actually, as a writer, a screenwriter, I was working in Italy, but I was writing American stories, you know, that had a Hollywood taste to it. So, and I was working in Italy as a
in
actor.
Time when you were doing your job in police?
There was force? right after that.
Then you had a little break. Then
yes,
you decided it's over and now you need a...
I went to Rome. I started working as an actor in Rome. And I was working on TV in Rome.
Okay.
And I was also writing screenplays. And one screenplay also happened to... I placed like first place in a very important screenwriting contest, who's the head of the jury was actually Cy Field, who was a guru of screenwriting here in America. So, and that really let me think that I had to come here because...
You said that something, God or whoever gives you the sign,
yeah,
a time to dream bigger.
Exactly. Dream big. And when I was a captain of Carabinieri, actually I was a lieutenant at the time, I was working with Americans on a peacekeeping mission in Bosnia.
And, oh my gosh, we are like talking like a movie, but he's talking real life. You know, because looking at you, you think you are telling the story and other films, but that's real life. We are talking dying, horrible situation.
Yeah, there was a very like fortifying experience, because seeing Bosnia right after the war was really, really like a defining moment for me, you know, in my growth as a human being, because you really see dire conditions, poverty, and how lucky we are, you know, having been born and lived like in a place like Italy or America. But anyway, so I was working with Americans. I was a liaison to the American Infantry Division, the 3rd Infantry Division. And that's where I really fell in love with the American mentality. And I thought to myself, one day I will go to America. I mean, I didn't know yet that I would.
You just wanted to meet your beautiful wife. Yes. That was the dream, right?
He dreamed of me.
Oh, she my gosh. I cannot wait to wait for this story, life story, how this happened, love story.
Yeah.
Okay, then you are in America. How could you get to America? Like, you dreamt and you wrote to Ilona Europa saying, I want a visa, like Domenico Capuano did. How did you do that?
How did I get a visa?
Yeah, or,
well, I...
You had sponsors?
No, I had no sponsors.
Wow.
When I came here, I didn't know anybody, not even one soul.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just came here. I was just by myself and, you know, very... I mean, I could speak English, but not very good. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn a lot, especially write in English. But so I had, like, applied for a green card lottery, you know, for the diversity visa lottery that the American government issues like 50,000 green card, and I happened to win.
Oh gosh, that's beautiful.
Like,
okay, second sign, God, thank you, twice lucky. First he won a very big screen writing contest,
yes,
from, and Americans gave it to you. Now,
yes,
you got this amazing, you know, another, you won. Oh my gosh,
I did,
entrance to America. That's beautiful. Again, meant to be, you know, how can you say no? And then you packed your little tiny backpack and you say, okay, I'm taking my chances, yes?
Exactly. And
okay,
I did a move and I came here. And it was a sign, you know, from the destiny I had to be here. So, and that's what I did.
Okay, wonderful. Then maybe I will give us a little bit break and I'll go and bring guest water, because that's what I didn't do when I entered the studio. And I will play something that is not of Erin, but we have 3 of her songs and they will be listening to. But yeah, because I don't want to not be here when her song is played. We'll be talking about her song. But what can I do? Or maybe something really, really sad. Okay, anticipation. Okay, let's do it. Ilona Europa.
Let's
Anticipation for Love. That's one of the saddest songs that I wrote when I was happy. And I don't know what I would be, what I'm writing right now. I don't write right now for like, I think like a year I didn't write anything. Because I wrote 30-something song for somebody else. Then I got washed out completely of my own self. But fact is, we are talking right now to Erin, who is a songwriter, a singer-songwriter. And she can do so much. And I listen her music and I flip through her, you know, website and try to knowing her before she comes and just makes me love her even more. And I'm like, wow, this girl, oh my gosh, she can do all. And I saw myself a little bit in her because of her ability to be an opera singer. And she is having great education as a musician. Then I see her singing beautiful low contralto, alto colors. Then I hear her being poetical with the song that we'll be talking about a little more. This girl can do it all. And I know it's not like last year that she decided to sing. Then now, Erin, your life story a little bit. Okay, you were born in Minnesota, you say, yes?
Yes, I was born on the banks of the Mississippi River, which is true, during the middle of a snowstorm, though.
Oh, what month?
February.
I'm December. And you?
Yay. You are from? January.
That's beautiful. We're winter people.
Yay.
But so warm and cozy.
Warm and cozy.
Good. Okay, then.
I grew up in Minnesota in a very small town. I actually grew up singing in church every week. You know, sometimes my parents co-founded a church, and so I would be a song leader Sundays and some Wednesdays and some Thursdays. We were very active.
Are they happy that they let you do that, and now you are far away from them?
No.
I know. I remember my beautiful mom and daddy. They were pretty poor people, just simple, beautiful, simple people. And they wanted us, me and my sister, to be educated. And they put all effort to just get me through, you know, college and music degrees and stuff like that. The same with my sister. And then one day I just left.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then I don't know, parents, you still let children dream and do whatever, but like with your mommy, the same, yes?
She is
in Italy then. She
is in Rome right now, and she misses me so much, but she's happy that I'm here.
That's good.
Yeah.
My parents didn't like that at all, and I can understand why. Anyway, coming back to you were born, and you were
singing in
church, and you, how many years you were really active there, and then you decided the small town is not for you?
Oh, right. I mean, what happened is, by the time I got to high school, the woman who was the choir director at our church was also getting her PhD in teaching music at a university in the town next door. So she said, do you want to learn how to really sing? And I said, yes. And she started teaching me to sing opera because that's what she learned. And at the time I was this tiny little, you know, 95 pounder or whatever. And this huge voice came out of me and everyone was shocked at how big it really was. And I started winning contests as a singer. And then I was also academically very,
smart.
I did very well. Yeah.
Good for you.
Not
smart
so much anymore.
You're very smart girl. Okay. Yeah. Then.
And I was basically, when it was time to choose school, I had a lot of options and I was offered, I wanted to go to New York. I wanted to go to LA. I always wanted to live in LA all my life. I always dreamed of being a singer, a movie star, a novelist, and a jewel thief, which
that's funny.
It's funny that I'm now dating a man who's no longer in the police force, but
you know what you are saying about it. We never understand why some children just decide to dream this way or that way. And the same me, I my parents had no idea how to direct me, and I was a tiny little girl. When it was snow, my daddy was putting coal in a fireplace, whatever you call this, and 5 a.m, 6 a.m. was smelling so badly in our house because, you know, of the dust and burned coal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was maybe 8 years or 7 years old, sleeping under pillows, and it was very cold. And it was the most romantic when I look back. It was the beautiful moment in my life. I remember looking at the tiny radio, and I was so so like magically thinking, I want to be inside of this radio. I want to sing all of these things. Yeah. But what they were singing, there was army songs from Russia, because my daddy was born in the Polish part of the Russia and he loved it all. Kalinka, kalinka, kalinka. I just listened what my daddy loved to listen. I'm like, I want to be. But yeah, there were mostly men's, you know, choirs, the really army gorgeous, but the voice worked so good. And I started dreaming, you know, every morning I was listening to radio and then getting a little bit older, older. And 10 years later, with most of people that I thought I loved to hear them, I was on a stage with them. Then, you know, from the dream, like you said, you know, from the teacher who takes your hand and say, honey, you have something special about you. I will show you. That's all what I can show you. Opera. Lucky you, because techniques that you got from these ladies, when it comes to pop singing, woohoo, you're above and beyond, you know. And I, like I say, I was singing opera too, and I hate it. But, you know, but I got this great education when it comes to techniques.
Right.
This helps.
It totally, it teaches you so that even if you're singing, I mean, I now, like, as you said, I sing a lot of different styles, but it's still, for me, you want to maintain healthy singing.
Yeah.
It's placement. It's, you know, it's production. Otherwise, there's so many examples of singers who sing improperly and then have to either take years off to relearn how to sing. Like Gwen Stefani had to take a year off or whatever to relearn how to sing.
A lot of people have vocal issues, you know, because they strain their vocals and they sing wrong way. And mostly when they're successful with one song, they're put on a tour for everyday singing and they ruin their vocals forever sometimes. You're right. Okay.
So anyway, so then I went to music school, but we were talking about this before the show. This is where I was a little perfectionist and I was like putting so much pressure on myself to be perfect in every way. Perfect looking, perfect weight, perfect exercise, perfect food, perfect singing, perfect grades, perfect, 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 perfect. I went nuts and ended up leaving that school, and I started a rock band. I started writing my own songs. I moved to
very creative time in your life, but probably very confusing also.
Yes,
because you knew almost too much for the short time.
Oh yeah,
you tried to explore everything.
Absolutely, and I started actually with this band. We started touring. We did it on our own. It was the early days of MySpace. It was like, you know, early, it was like 2001, 2002, and it was around 2002, end of 2002 when we got onto MySpace and we were asking people to come see our shows. We were just like, we'd book it. Literally, the drummer of that particular band was also my boyfriend at the time, and he would make me get on the phone and call random clubs in Montana and like book gigs. And I did. I actually am so grateful now because I don't have any fear of getting on the phone and talking to anybody anytime about anything.
It's so hard to pitch yourself. And you know, this crazy music business, you sent me this wonderful, I said, give me like a few questions, although I'm not using them because maybe we'll have soon another meeting. I have so much to say, but one of your question, and I agree with them, what's going on in this music business? They want us to do job for them. You know, it's like, okay, promote yourself, get yourself rich, and promote your single, maybe we want you. You know,
it's
like, wow.
Oh, anyway. There's a boy from my hometown in Minneapolis, and he was in a very famous band called Semisonic. And the guy, one of the lead singer of that band, went on to write songs for Adele and Taylor Swift, won the Grammy. Anyway, they're very talented. One of my first concerts I ever went to, I snuck out in like eighth grade. Oops, I just said that publicly. My parents might be listening. But anyway, to go see Trip Shakespeare at the university in the town over. And that became Semisonic. Anyway, Jacob was the drummer, and he wrote a book called How I Got a Record Deal, Became a Rock Star, and Ended Up $10 million in Debt to the Record Label.
Yeah.
Because basically, they got signed, they got the big deal, they had two radio hits, they were touring, their sophomore album came out, nobody promoted it, nothing. And they had to break up as a band because any money they would make as a band
was paid back to the record company for everything what they did or didn't do it.
Right.
But still, they put, oh, baby, we know this pain, but we have no choice because we're an artist. You are also, you're an actor, you're a screenwriter, you have big, big dreams. We have no choice. You're a little getting luckier here, and I'm so proud we'll be talking about this, the same, your beautiful wife, Erin. You have a show, yes, in March. We need to not forget
yes,
to pitch
March
that.
11th. Yes, I need to pitch myself. Everyone can come hear me sing live March 11th, 8:30 p.m. At Genghis Cohen, which is 741 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles, 90046. I can't believe I have that memorized.
You need to, again, that's what we need to do. Now time for music. What do you think about this? Too much? This is the first song that is
That's
okay?
great. Yeah, that will be fun for your listeners, too, because it's got a little bit of a dance edge to it.
Yeah, we have Italians and Polish people here, and we are very good when it comes to dance music. And you know, in a way, I believe you'll be back. Then we'll be talking about many faces and many talents of yours when you sing. But yeah, whatever I picked, what I picked. Sorry.
Oh, I think this is one of my favorite songs ever.
Yeah. I love it too. Great song. Okay, let's say too much or not enough.
I know whoever, all my life you do. It does.
I really, really, really love it. Who wrote the song?
Well, I wrote the song. I wrote the lyrics and the melody.
I love it.
And then the producer, I really have to give credit
Absolutely.
To Bernie Larson.
Absolutely. Please, yeah. Bernie, we love it.
Yeah, I've worked with him. He was actually the only person I knew when I moved to LA, and I didn't even know him. I had gone on tour with an artist he had produced, and I had met him once on tour. And when I was moving to LA, that artist, Eric Koskinen is his name, said, "Hey, you gotta call Bernie." That's how he talks. And so I had Bernie's number. And the day I moved to Los Angeles, I called Bernie and I said, "Hi, Bernie. I don't know if you'll remember me. My name is Aaron." He said, "Yeah, blue eyes, right?"
I said,
"Yeah, I just moved to LA." He's like, "Well, where are you living?" And I said, "Well, I'm living Melrose and La Cienega." He said, "No way. I'm driving right now on Melrose and La Cienega to go have tea and go to the Bodhi tree. Why don't I pick you up and let's go have tea?" And he did, and we became friends and started working together musically. And of course, the Bodhi tree no longer exists, but there was a tea store across the street that I think also is no longer there. But he is a wonderful producer, and he creates these soundscapes.
Yes.
You know, so I really have to give him credit for that.
Absolutely.
That and he was the one who talked me into singing that low, because
Ernie, you're right.
Yeah, I had. Yeah,
you're
I had.
Right, Ernie.
Yeah,
you really are right. I love it. No, it's just signature. You know, I'm saying. Yeah, just you hear the sound. You know, Erin. You know, I know you have many sounds. Could be next one will be Erin, but for me, it's very unusual.
Yeah,
it's just beautiful and just cool.
Thank you.
Cool, like back. But obviously, you have many of yous in you. Then we need to show people and let them listen
Thanks.
To your songs and fall in love with whatever they feel like fall in love with. That's right. What is an artist. Like you just offers and people pick and choose. And hopefully they will love everything.
I think of myself sort of like Linda Ronstadt. The difference is, of course, she was famous before she would move from genre to genre. But she can sing anything.
Yes.
You know, so can Kristen Chenoweth.
Absolutely. So. You are so right. So right. But, you know, hopefully we'll play Come Alive song. Okay.
Yeah.
But right now, I know you have some notes.
We
need to talk about some, because obviously time is running up always in the show so fast. And we will be talking so much more on a video channel, people. Yeah. Then we'll repeat maybe tiny fast-forward life stories, but we will develop this conversation, and probably I will be also asking a few questions from the list that you sent it to me, because it's about your life. How could I know everything I don't, but I'm trying. Is anything that we need to know what's going on in your artistry when it comes to filmmaking and screenwriting? Something good is happening. You just share with us good news. We want to hear.
Yeah, I think you referred to the one on my script that...
Yes.
Okay, that one.
Oh, he has many. Give us one. Don't make us jealous. Okay.
I mean, I do have multiple projects I'm working on, but that one in particular is a script that I wrote. Actually, I wrote the first draft when I was in Italy before coming here, but then I came back here. I came here and actually got lucky here because I got picked up by a producer whose name is Kinley, who... And other producers like Sparkstone Entertainment, which is a nice production company. And through them, the script is basically getting to pre-production through a very prominent Chinese production, like financing companies called Huaze, that has just partnered with Arclight Films and... with Fox International. So now the movie is...
You're dropping good names. We like you already. Like everything what you're saying. Okay, this is a time, obviously, and it will take time to get to the results, final results. When do you think you're hoping that film will see the light of the day, whatever the English is?
Well, we hope like this year or next year.
Oh, God.
So it's a big production movie.
You don't have music writer and scoring. You don't. I know your wife is writing,
but
the orchestrator, you know, we need to talk. We will do something better. I'm telling you.
Well, the director's Italian, too.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, this is like meant to be. You don't understand. You know, you just don't understand with... Operas, all this crazy stuff, you know, unusual vocals. And what is this movie about?
So this movie is called Mind Gate. It's an action thriller, sci-fi.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So it's a high budget like script, and it's a high budget story, and it's about an FBI agent who becomes a target of a covert agency when he discovers that they are using unsanctioned mind-reading technology on the public.
And this, so, this somebody had a blue eyes, probably. Okay. We'll talk more about your movie because we have two songs that I cannot play on a video because then we'll be sitting and just, you know, listening to you. But we have two tracks that hopefully you can sing a little bit. I will not kill you for like 30, 40 seconds whenever you say, hey, fade out. I will, because we don't have standing places. Sitting is not easy. But still, a lot of artists just sing and they don't care. But I think it's the hottest things to see you live performing for us. And it's so exciting for me. Okay, baby. Come Alive.
Yes.
What we can say about this song?
Well, this song also produced by Bernie, but a few years later. And this is a song that I wrote for this guy over here.
Oh,
Bernie.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I'm kidding.
No, we will talk about love story. Again, I'm just building suspension for the next show.
That's right.
We'll talk a little bit more how both of you met and you know, fell in love
with
it. It's the most beautiful, I'm sure. And I see the love in the eyes, both of your eyes, and it's just everything seems like really, really nice. And I'm praying we'll stay forever because I believe love is forever. Then, but Come Alive, you said that you wrote for your husband.
I did. I wrote it, I mean, several years ago now, and I don't know what else to say. I mean, I love this song. I wanted to do a song that was, you know, sort of like pop rock, but incorporated the classical, which it does a little at the end, you'll hear. Because what I love, and as I've been growing as an artist, is, you know, sort of this classical pop crossover. Andrea Bocelli is so famous for. Josh Groban is so famous
for. I think it's very hard, too. It's a very great idea. And, you know, you have so much to offer. It's tough to, really, we were talking about, it's tough to choose what, because every morning you wake up and you know you can do another things with your instrument. This is a beautiful instrument that you have, and we want to come alive with you. Then let's see and listen to this beautiful song.
Maybe once in a lifetime, you meet a man. of Dane. Of Dane. Of Dane. Of Dane. Of Dane.
Oh my gosh, let's make a bet. Can you go even higher? Gorgeous voice, gorgeous big voice, and just song is developing. Is one of those that we need lights.
Yeah, the lighter.
Lighters and just enjoy the moment. And boy, you love the guy here. Really, Angela singing to you and you met him. That's beautiful, Carlo. Okay. We have one more song, and this is the NPR, a very interesting story. Then we cannot forget about this one.
Yes.
Okay, for today, because they will be back, I think, at our show, and we'll be playing a little bit more and seeing what's going on with your movie, the progression. But right now, talk to me about this song.
Yes, so this song is based on a Sardinian folk song called Non Poto Reposare, made famous by a guy named Andrea Parodi from the band Tagenda, which I had never heard of till a year and a half ago.
Now we feel like we need to know this.
The guy's amazing.
Okay.
He's like the Italian Freddie Mercury. I'm not kidding. He's incredible. Unfortunately, he passed away. And very young, too young of cancer a few years ago. But basically, Carlo is going to be in a movie in Italy, shooting in Sardinia this spring, based on true events. And we went to meet the director while we were there over the holidays. And the director heard me sing and asked if I would sing this song. He wanted it in Sardinian and English.
Okay, you may say something.
But I have to say something about this, because we gave the director a sample of her voice.
Yeah.
The director listened to the sample, and he called me back and I said, Carlo, your Aaron can even sing a phone book and be very interesting. Yeah. She has the most beautiful voice I've ever heard in my life.
She hired her
on the spot.
Oh my God.
I want her in my movie.
Yeah. Okay. That's works backward. This thing's supposed to happen in Hollywood, not in Italy.
I know, right?
I'm so happy. That's good that it works both ways, because if it's talent, you're right. You can win everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you buying some lottery tickets? Because in your life, you have a lot of good moments. Are you buying? You know, you have these moments that things are happening for both of you. It's like little stepping stones to just good luck. Then are you playing lottery?
We actually trade a Powerball, but...
We tried to win the $1.5 billion or whatever.
Tomorrow, next year. Okay, let's continue about this.
Okay, so when I go sing it in the film, I'll actually be singing it with an orchestra. Oh, I'm very excited, a polyphonic choir. It's like a dream come true. But we also recorded a version to be like a little bit more like the soundtrack version for the... So anyway, we did it in Sardinian and in English. Carlo and I actually translated the lyrics together and then rewrote them a little bit to have them make sense for American English. And in English, we call it The Only One Forever, and that's this song.
Okay, that's a beautiful song to almost end our show. Okay.
My soul will never rest without your love. Every waking hour I'm thinking of you. Promise you won't waste one single moment letting your heart break away from
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.